What a season. Good to be back. What a season. What a season it's been.
What a crosstalk.
Oh, boy.
Huh. Okay. So here at the tail end of the Pony time skip, the first of many.
No, don't say that. Saga.
What?
No more time skips.
No more time skips?
The first one is like, we're already like verging on like jumping the shark territory. But the second time skip, that's when you know they ran out of ideas.
Yeah, we all get like new love interests and stuff.
Yeah, and like everyone falls off because all the ships are wrong. And you know, it's unpleasant to say the least.
So welcome to Pony Season 2, subtitled, The Ships Are Wrong. We are, I don't even remember who we are or what how we used to intro this show.
I'm Juan, right?
Yeah.
No, wait, you're Juan.
No, I'm Scotty. I like this now. I feel comfortable in this skin.
That's my skin, though.
Well, you just gonna have to figure it out. I mean, you had the better skin to begin with, surely.
Oh, that's not true. I feel like you probably have better moisturizing techniques than I do. Mine's all ashy and stuff. Plus, I live in Florida. It's like all like...
That's true. Ugh. It's riddled with malaria.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Malaria and old Dairy Queen.
Florida man has nothing to lose. That's why he keeps doing what he does.
Let's... do you have an intro? I have an intro.
You go ahead, yeah.
I just want to talk about a good breakfast I had.
Oh, great! I love talking about breakfast.
Let's talk about breakfast. I'm just in it. This is in the spirit of like renewal of the podcast, and
we're
of,
breaking like, the pod fast.
Yeah, breaking the pod fast. That's really good. Yeah. I just made myself like a Starbucks food hack.
Okay, cool.
Like I bought the component ingredients of one of their protein boxes, and I was so unspeakably excited. Like, do you remember when you were a kid and you couldn't go to sleep because of like Christmas morning was coming and you were so pumped?
Absolutely. To
like rip open that PlayStation 2.
Absolutely.
And get into some Gran Turismo.
Some Final Fantasy X.
Or that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both.
I mean, it was Gran Turismo for me because like my dad bought it and it's like he's going to play Gran Turismo and I'm just going to sort of sit there.
Is that how you pronounce it? Gran Turismo?
You know, I actually didn't pronounce it like that until very recently, until like a year ago, because I heard people saying it like that. And I just sort of got subconscious. I always did Turismo.
Yeah, I think that's probably how I would do it.
But the more I say Turismo, like the more it sounds kind of like fucking, like I'm an idiot tourist in Italy.
But so does Turismo, though.
No, not really. Turismo sounds like you're kind of like leaning into it, I feel.
Turismo. There you go.
Turismo.
Gran Turismo. I need you to say it that way from now on.
It's a me. Gran Turismo. Okay, you know what? Fuck breakfast. That was a good segue. Let's talk about video games.
Cool. Awesome. You can tell me about your breakfast after the show.
Yeah. I mean, as long as we're segueing off that good joke I just did, just picked up Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Alpha Final Mix Plus.
Oh, sweet! Is that the one where they added Urien into it, and also maybe Snake? Is Snake back in?
Snake is in. Snake is in. Wow. Everybody
does
except
he just,
ironically
does he just,
Waluigi.
Does he just drive on his ass, and that's why he doesn't have it anymore?
No, he drives on top of Otacon.
Oh, okay.
He sits on top of Otacon, and Otacon just continuously pisses himself.
Miles per hour.
That's sort of...
that's his banana peel. It's his little puddles of piss. Like oil slicks.
Now I'm picturing, like, this is actually... Why isn't Snake in Mario Kart? That's some bullshit.
I bet it's Konami's fault somehow.
It's like, they already have the IP. Like, they already do it in
Why Smash. Isn't Kojima like, in Mario Kart? Norman, put Norman Reedus in Mario Kart 8. Sign my petition, please. He rides Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
So, are you liking it? Are you enjoying it?
Seriously, that's a great game. Oh, it's so good.
It is. Like,
I like racing games. I play a lot of like simulators and arcade racers.
You don't say.
Those are like rarer and rarer every day.
Are you a fan of that Gran Turismo?
I'm a fan of that Gran Turismo.
Okay, alright.
I'm gonna stick to my guns.
Fucking tourist.
We can't get into another Turismo tangent.
Okay.
But it's like, it's intoxicating, honestly. The feeling of, like, just being able to... Because rarely, even in arcade racers, is there, like, such an incentive to just never, ever break. And, like, be really, really creative and proactive in, like, bumping your opponents. Mm-hmm. And, like, just making their lives a living hell.
Just fucking them up.
Yeah, just fucking them right up. It's, like, it's a better, more polished Burnout, is what it is.
I know. I don't know if I can get... I don't know if I can get on board with that, but I do think that literally no other game has gotten drifting right the way that this game has.
Oh, hell yeah, absolutely.
This is... The Mario Kart series is basically, like, the most faithful adaptation of Tokyo Drift, in my opinion.
We gotta stop doing this. We gotta stop opening up opportunities to talk about celebrities being in Mario Kart. Like, IRL celebrities.
It's so fun, like, though. Now, come on.
Now all I can think about is a little Bow Wow in Mario Kart with his big, stupid Hulk minivan from the movie.
Bow Wow Jr.
Bow Wow Jr. is the forgotten son. It's Ludwig, Roy, and Bow Wow Jr.
Bow Wow Jr., yeah. Bowser, Bowser's Drake. The new Drake.
The new Drake. Yeah, but Mario Kart 8 is fantastic. They got all the new maps in the deluxe version, which is, like, so sweet.
The good maps? Because,
I mean, I don't even know what good maps are anymore, because it's been such a long time since I played a real one. I think Mario Kart DS was the last one that I actually played.
That's a good one. Mario Kart DS is really underrated.
No, it's fantastic. It's really good. And it's this one improves on it in every conceivable way.
The only thing missing is mission mode.
The only thing missing, I'll tell you what's missing.
Mission mode.
No. It's... Well, okay, this isn't even, like, a thing. I'm just going to go on this tangent. Why can't we get a new Double Dash?
Oh, it was too powerful.
It's too powerful, right?
Yeah.
It would literally, like, it would end the industry.
Could you believe that that's, like, some people's, like, least favorite entry?
It's my favorite entry.
It's one of my favorite entries. Like, I don't know what people have against it. I want to say that that might have been the one that... I don't know. It's been a while since I've played the old Mario Karts, but... Which is the one that actually introduced drifting? Because I feel like that one might have been the one.
It might have been that one.
Which is why I love it so much. Because I fucking hate Mario Kart 64. Mario Kart 64 is absolute garbage. There's literally nothing about it that you need today. Like, in this day and age. You can leave that comfortably in the dust.
The problem with it is that it first of all, like, people romanticize the shit out of it, like they do with everything on the Nintendo 64.
Ugh.
Which is fine.
Ugh.
Just stand in your truth.
Ugh.
But also, it lacks, like, drifting is a huge part of it, but it's things like drifting that came into the later entries that really made it, like, accessible. Because before that, it was very much, like, it's like early Smash, you know? It's like, there's
you're just really steep learning curves. Really.
Exactly. And there's no, like, it's all skill, but there's also a huge element of, like, oh, if you're fucked, there's no way to, like, come back from... Like a particularly bad red shell, you're just screwed.
I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like these new ones are more mechanically, like, involved. I feel like the only reason people like Nintendo 64 one is the battle mode.
Well, but, like, you get battle mode in later versions.
Yeah, but when Mario Kart 8 first came out, it had, like, a really terrible battle mode. Like, it had you basically just you literally did the battle mode inside existing tracks. It was an absolute, like. It was really bad. But I don't really like battle mode anyways. Although, Double Dash had the best battle mode, the Ba-Bomb.
There you go.
The Ba-Bomb battle mode. I remember just racing, just speeding on that sweet, sweet GameCube model, bombing the shit out of my friends. That was fun.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Yeah.
So in conclusion, Shigeru-san.
Keep drifting.
Keep on drifting. Keep on hitting that drifto.
Never
and
stop drifting.
Please, Christ, can we get a new Double Dash? I will pay full price. I haven't paid $60 for video. Yesterday, when I bought Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Alpha Final Mix Plus NTSC, was the first time I paid full price for a video game in the better part of a decade.
Wow.
I'm willing to say.
Wow. Did you get it digitally?
No, I got a cartridge because I was terrified that the internal memory would not be enough. That's
fucked up. You fucked up there.
Why?
That's like the perfect digital game.
Well, that's them's the breaks for me, I guess.
Them's the drifts.
I guess you fucked up because you probably should have been consulting me on Switch etiquette.
I didn't even know that you were, like, were in the market for it.
I'm always in the... Who isn't in the market for a Switch? Come on.
You're right.
It's literally the perfect machine.
You're right. It's pretty good. You want to talk about BT? Your beautiful robot son?
No, I want to let you talk.
No, I really want to hear about your thoughts on Titanfall 2.
Did
you finish it?
Robot
like,
son. Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh my god, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
We got to get into this.
My son, BT, is the purest, most perfect little robot man. The thing about BT, like, the thing about Titanfall's... first of all, I just want to talk purely in terms of, like, the writing and the storytelling and the campaign. Here's the thing. I have really bad taste, apparently. I have really bad taste because I don't recognize quality when I see it. I just sort of like things... I'm very much like the Joe Sixpack of video game storytelling.
That went right over my head. Who's Joe Sixpack?
Like the everyman.
The everyman.
Does
everyman? Does everyman have a six pack?
No, six. Pack
I heard. I heard everyman was shredded.
I saw everyman in the show.
Okay. Okay. I got you.
So, like, when you serve up something like Titanfall 2, with its composite character of every semi-sentient, like, playfully sentient robot companion or advanced intelligence companion, like, I eat that shit up.
Yeah, that's you.
Like, completely. Yeah, I become completely invested. But then again, like... It is a composite character, like, it's, like, it's nothing that hasn't been done already. Like, you got everything. You got the,
You got Terminator.
The concise, communication of Terminator. You got the, amusing, misunderstandings of human turns of phrase.
Also Terminator.
Also Terminator, actually.
Is he just a Terminator? Is this just, like...
It's a more intelligible Terminator.
What if BT was Austrian?
Oh my god, that would be amazing. But like, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, something on the level of like Terminator. Like, it's not Artur, it's not like incredible, but it's like it's fun and it's like good to consume.
It's a really good popcorn game, a really good popcorn single player campaign.
Exactly, and when you do it effectively, when you execute. Like, when you know what you're doing and you say, like, okay, I'm not going to commit to, like, reinventing the wheel here. I'm just going to do, like, a fun, intelligible Terminator character, and then we're all going to go out for drinks.
Turn the wheel into a Terminator.
But it comes out good. It comes out good, and it comes out, like, you know, it's something that people are familiar with, and so it's easy for them to digest, but it's still fun to play and fun to experience. And I... was enthralled by this large throwy boy who like could throw me anywhere I asked, and
that's the best friendship.
That's so good. It's a good, like, a lot of things that this game sort of revitalizes, I think. One, the robot sidekick character. Two, the dynamic of being thrown as opposed to throwing others in video games.
It's like a very specific fetish. Yeah, I agree with you. What did you think about that circuit? Yeah.
Oh, the circuit? I was actually kind of disappointed a little bit.
Don't say that one. That is,
and
like...
I'll say this. It's your fault.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's your fault because you built it up for me. And I thought it was going to be this, like, whoa, huge badass thing.
How is it, like, not it, that?
It feels fun to play, obviously. Like, it's really cool.
I would take an entire game of nothing but Sirkit. A side mode.
The thing about Sirkit is that it's a great idea. It's an awesome idea, and it's executed super well, like everything else in this campaign. It's really tight. It's really just focused on making you have fun. But Splinter Cell Conviction already did that exact same thing.
Shut the hell your mouth.
Almost a decade earlier.
No.
They did it already. They did it.
Not to this it's degree. Look.
Yeah, it's to this degree. To this exact degree.
No game has ever done the Usain Bolt of Panzer Dragoon. Okay, this is absolutely... like
that sailed over my head.
Why? You don't play Panzer Dragoon?
Hell no.
Well, it's the thing where you paint some targets
weeb
and
shit.
And then you... Okay, fine. You know what? Let's just move on.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that, like, Sam Fisher beat you.
Curse you, Ironside. Wait, no, is that... No. He was still doing it for that one, right?
He was.
Okay.
That was his last
entry. His last one? Look who's laughing now.
Actually, no. It was...
Ghost.
It's Ghost Recon. Exactly. His fucking... featured cameo.
God, he sounds so done in that video game.
Yeah, he does.
It's just, oh my god. Like, nothing against him, I guess, but...
like, I feel bad for him, honestly, because, like, he's just a great voice actor who's just, like, people keep asking him to do...
Do the thing! Bullshit. Do the thing, Michael!
Yeah, like, do the thing, Mike! Mike, come on, Mike, come in here. We're gonna do the scene. Mike, we're gonna do the scene. People are gonna go crazy.
I don't know if you've ever seen Giant Bomb play Ghost Recon, but whenever Jeff Gerstmann does his Michael Ironside impression, I die. Because it just sounds like the most, like, 70-year-old guy reaching for a beer can at 6 a.m. Like, just... we love you, Mike.
Yeah.
No,
thanks, Mike.
I don't know. I haven't ever seen anything with Michael Ironside in it, so.
He was in, I believe I saw him in one episode of NCIS.
Oh, there you go.
Which is, like, the most, like, that show was built around the idea of Michael Ironside.
Okay. I don't know if I want to go into Final Fantasy 15 XV. Royal, I think it's called Royal Edition. Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition.
Royal Edition.
Yeah, it's basically their I'm sorry. We fixed it. Final Fantasy 15, we fixed it.
Final Fantasy 15, we did it good this time.
We did it good. Literally, Square Enix was like, man, you guys sure have a lot of feedback about all of this game. So we'll take a mulligan on that. We'll just do that again. Here you go. They literally, like, added, like, cutscenes and chapters and shit to the game. I think they did it piecemeal. Like, they just added some post-release content, like free patches and shit. And basically, I think they just ended up in a position where they're like, well, you know what? Let's just release it again. Let's just do it again. And that's what I ended up getting on the Steam sale, in addition to a couple of other things.
That's pretty funny.
It's pretty all right. It's a great podcast game. You sure do a lot of running around in that. It's a lot of running around and a lot of driving, so I feel like you'd love it, because it's very immersive. Yeah. You get to be with your boys. Your boy squad.
I heard from semi-credible sources that...
Is it Kate?
No. It's Chin, actually. I would rate Kate as more credible.
More credible, okay.
That I wouldn't like it, actually, precisely because it was such a big sandbox and because it was, like, so empty. Like it was devoid of content.
But that's your shit.
But I was thinking, I was saying, like, oh, I thought it was kind of like Kingdom Hearts in that, you know, it was, you know, you just run around and occasionally just whip it out and wail on some dudes.
That's exactly it. That's exactly the game.
Yeah, exactly, right? I was like, yeah, that kind of sounds dope. Sounds like I'm into that.
Like, that absolutely is that. Like, it's a lot of open world where you can, like, do monster hunting contracts, which is kind of what I'm most enjoying about the game, the monster hunting contracts, because they're usually a little bit more challenging than the than the story stuff. The story stuff, you honestly, nothing in this game is really challenging if you just stock up on potions and shit. so whatever. Mm-hmm. But it feels good to just roll out with your boys and just kind of do some monster hunting, and then you just go back to the to whatever Monster Hunter's Guild or whatever to turn those in, and you get more. It's cool. It's nice. I like that part of it. And basically, it's either that or high definition towns, baby.
Ooh.
At last. And they're pretty good. I like the town so far. I don't know if I'd count it as a town per se, but there's this one place. It's basically like a key of sorts, like a seaside key. And mm-hmm. like it's all like beachy and stuff, and it they have I love the music in this game. A good part of my appreciation for it so far is the music. It's pretty dope. And guess who's back to compose it from Kingdom Hearts? It's Yoko Shimomura, baby.
Yay!
Yeah, it's got some jams.
I've been in a Yoko bender.
Then you'll love this thing, dude.
Going back into the Street Fighter soundtrack.
Okay, but maybe you'll get something different out of this in that case. Kyle's theme plays every time you fight a cactuar.
I would love that. That sounds fantastic to me. Why can't we get, like, I want to get,
there's
like,
probably
a
mod for that.
I want to get a definitive remaster of Kyle's theme.
There has to be one.
Like, I want to get Yoko in the booth and be like,
get Yoko in
just
the booth.
Here's all the instruments.
Yoko Ono.
Here's like
does the guy. I would also listen to that.
I wouldn't.
No.
Have you seen that fucking? Have you seen that old? It's like an old viral video of her. What can be charitably described as her singing in an exhibit in
no,
an
I
art
haven't.
Installation.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that.
It's just her literally like wailing. It's has no melody, has no rhythm to it. It's her just like
so
undulating her throat. don't talk shit on Guile's theme like this. You really need to see that video. It literally like I'm gonna do here's 3 seconds of it, okay?
I'm sure, no
exaggeration.
I'm sure our listeners really appreciated that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good. I liked it. I'm still going through it. I'm sure there will be. I mean, like with any JRPG, I'm sure there will be spots where I absolutely hate it. But I am enjoying it so far. And I haven't regretted my purchase of it. And I think there's like multiplayer content for it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like online co-op. I think you can do like monster hunting with your friends, basically.
Ooh.
I haven't delved into that. But I'll probably look into it because it
that's
I like it. I like it, and the mods are fucking incredible. I've already rolled with Papyrus, Dante, Waluigi, and
mm-hmm.
somebody one a character from Nier Automata. It's the mods are very good. Unfortunately, you can't turn them off once you have them. You have to unsubscribe from them in order to turn them off. But
yeah.
I'd say it's worth it. So if you're gonna get a version of the game, probably get this one because it's neat.
Cool.
It's really neat. Some movies?
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about some movies. Let's go to the movies.
Woo! All right, you go first.
Finally,
let's talk about the pest.
I want to do a whole episode on the pest. I've seen the trailer. I've seen the trailer for the pest, and already I'm obsessed with it in, like, a bad way. I'm obsessed with it in the way that the guy, the detective who was, like, obsessed
with Jim Carrey
with
in 23.
Sure. Jim Carrey in 23.
That's the instead one that everyone goes to.
Instead of writing the number 23 all over the walls of my hotel room, I just do crude doodles of John Leguizamo.
It's Sid the Sloth.
Ah, fuck, I forgot Sid the Sloth was... I forgot that was in his repertoire.
The sole blemish on the storied Leguizamo filmography.
Fucking Super Mario Brothers is an untouchable masterpiece.
You're right, that offsets everything else.
Yep. No, I finally saw Thor Ragnarok over our brief time skip.
I saw it too.
It's a good film.
I saw that film too.
Saw that flick. What'd you think?
Brief side note.
What?
It's not a tangent because it's still Taika Waititi related. Brenda didn't know that Jemaine Clement was the was one of the vampires in What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she also that's like more that's like more mind blowing than her not knowing that the Viago was also Taika Waititi. Like, he stars in that too, which is it's still funny. But the funniest thing is her not knowing that, like, that's Jemaine.
I didn't see What We Do in the Shadows completely.
You should see all of it.
No, I will finish it. But Jermaine is like, I don't know, I think he's just a better actor than I think any of us expected.
I wish he had more things.
Yeah.
Like, the last big thing that I remember him being in was fucking Men in Black 3.
What? He was in Men in Black 3?
He was in Men in Black 3.
What was he in Men in Black 3?
He was the villain. He was the main bad dude.
No fucking way.
I swear to God.
He was the bearded... No way.
He's a chameleon.
Fuck off. Dude, I was trying to place that guy, like, forever. I was like, okay, brain, focus. Stop, like, because I kept, like, I was doing Googles into my own, like, mind. Like, searching into my own database. And it kept returning Tim Curry.
Quangle. What?
I know. Like, for some reason, that's the only, like, person who was, like, I was even getting, like, a 40% match on. And I was like, brain, no. Wow. This is not Tim Curry. I need you to work harder.
It's probably, like, the closest thing we have to Tim Curry in the 21st century.
Is it?
I think so. Nobody has that aura about him, and nobody has, like, I want Tim Curry to have been in more things, and I want Jemaine to be in more things. Not to say that, I know that Tim Curry hasn't passed yet, but he did, unfortunately, suffer from a stroke.
Which
is terrible. Sorry, keep going. Thor Ragnarok. Turned out to be a bigger tangent than I thought.
Yeah. But it's fine. So Taika returns and he brings us what a fucking, like, I would love to know how that started. Like,
how did Kevin Feige got in there?
How the whole, yeah, I guess so. Because, like, Kevin Feige was just sitting there in the theater, in Grauman's Chinese Theater, at the end of the screening for Thor 2, The Dark World. Just alone,
thinking about what could we have done.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how can this be saved? How can I avoid another Hulk gate? Where we have to, like, reboot the franchise and just, like, not talk about it.
They reboot the franchise, but it's still Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. It's like, no, I'm a different Thor.
Thor
2.0. Thor squared.
Thor squared.
But it's like, what a Herculean task to just, like, lay at his feet. Like, hey, revive this franchise that even at its best in the original Thor, it was a fucking...
just painfully average.
Yeah, just aggressively mediocre and forgettable. Like, take this, put some fucking New Zealand magic on it and get people excited for Infinity War.
Yeah.
And he was just like,
I got it, baby.
He did it.
I think what happened was, surprisingly enough, What We Do in the Shadows actually has a number of really, really well executed, not action scenes, but, like, they do a lot with the budget they have. And a lot of really cool looking shit. So I don't want to say that's exactly what maybe put him up for consideration, but I mean, Taika's a really well respected director outside of, like, this kind of stuff. Like, he did smaller projects, you know, but he was still, like, on the come up, you know. So it basically was. I think that Thor Ragnarok is what the original Ant-Man situation was going to be like, where Edgar Wright just came in and blew everyone's minds with a really cool movie instead of whatever the hell. I didn't even see, like, Ant-Man. But I feel like that's probably what happened.
What a shame.
I know.
But at least this way, I don't have to actually go see Ant-Man.
I still think about how cool that would have been to see an Edgar Wright directed Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been
just... And it's like, it's like the perfect hero for him, too.
It really is. You could do so much.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Not like I'm still sore about it.
But Thor Ragnarok is, I guess, this show is about hot takes,
mm-hmm.
hot takes and cool eats.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to highlight this one thing that isn't mine. I saw on Twitter that people were talking, some dumbass racist guy was talking about, like, oh, like, Black Panther is the most successful Marvel movie ever, and it's, like, it's so crazy that we had to, like, talk so much about black people. Like, there's so much about them right now. Like, what about white people? When do we get our sort of...
When do we get our our time on the spotlight? Gosh.
Who will think of the white man?
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, but it was that, and then some other guy who's like a fucking Scandinavian scholar was like, you got it already. It was Thor. Like, that was it. It was literally taking the dominant sort of deep mythology, like non-religious, I guess, mythology, more of like a cultural, sociocultural mythology,
mm-hmm.
And taking it to its logical conclusion in, mm-hmm. like, an effects-driven fucking extravaganza.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was it. And not only is it not only is it just taking, you know, not only is it the historical, cultural, mythological part of it, but it's also, like, in Ragnarok, infused with, like, modern aesthetics that are, you know, I mean, like, Robert Plant, I think, is probably one of the best things that white people had to offer at the time. And I'm saying Robert Plant is probably to 70s and white people what Run the Jewels are to, like, right now. Although, did Run the Jewels actually make it onto the soundtrack? I think they didn't. Okay, so Vince Staples.
Yeah.
There you go. But anyway, yeah, I thought that was a really interesting take.
I think it's interesting too, especially since, like, narratively, the two movies really, really mirror each other. So
really, how so?
I mean, they're both about, like, somebody. And honestly, these have been all three of the four movies, I feel like, but most of them have been about, like, becoming the man worthy of, like, leading the people, or like. Coming out from under the shadow of your father and stuff like that. Like, Thor Ragnarok was all about that shit. And even though it dealt mostly with the concept of, like, a nation, or what, like, what home is, in addition to that stuff, it, like, tied into that kind of theme. Like, I saw a lot of it in Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think even, like, amazingly so, I think that the non-black film actually went a little bit further into exploring, like, the conflation and the dichotomies of the concepts of, like, the nation, the state, the people, the ruling class, and stuff like that.
Yeah, especially when that nation actually has a very sordid history.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just, like...
Which, like, I got it, like, that has to be Taika. Going in, yeah, there, exactly. With, I was gonna say, the New Zealand, that's perspective. All Taika, just like
looking at, like, the entire history of, like, the Aboriginal people, and just like scribbling into a notebook, just like, oh, you fucking guys are gonna get it. Now I've got fucking Marvel money.
Now you've gotta hear me. You can't ignore this shit. Fuck you.
Yeah, it's over for you fuckos.
It's a great movie, honestly. I really enjoyed it even more than I thought that I would. I'm glad I bought it because it was at Secondhand Charles for like $10.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, it's probably not gonna, like, even fucking Thor Dark World sells for $25.
Oh, fuck off.
And, like, it's I hate to put her on blast like this, but Brenda still really likes those movies because, I mean, look, say what you will about them, but it's hard to think of a more well cast superhero, I guess. And it really sucks that those two movies really just completely just whiffed. Well,
I think that that's, you can't just say that, I think, because I think that the appropriateness of the casting didn't really come out until Ragnarok. Because, like, it's not until Ragnarok that you see how much dimension that character can really have, and how much Chris Hemsworth can bring to it. Because before, it was just kind of like, not, you get like sprinkles of like the potential that Ragnarok unlocked here and there. And, like,
there is some stuff in Dark World when with his interactions with Loki. That's that stuff wasn't terrible. There's some stuff here and there. Honestly, I really do feel like Hemsworth was being squandered in those movies. Like, you still see that stuff in there. So I get why she would want them, but I can't. I tell her every single time I feel bad spending that much money on these movies, and I'm sure that once the like MCU shit dies down, they'll be like $5. Like,
yeah,
you could just they'll start just throwing those at you as you leave Best Buy.
I really wonder what's the when this shit dies down, because it has to die down, right? It has to.
I told her we went to AMC yesterday, and I was like, dude, I feel like there's like a superhero movie literally every month.
That's their goal.
Every single fucking month.
Yeah, that's their dream.
It's so exhausting.
But it has to end at some point, and when it does, I'm gonna go ahead and assume that yes, hot take, the MCU is not eternal.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna throw my hat over the fence on that one.
Brave.
But when it ends, I wonder what the fucking like Criterion Ultimate Collector's Edition, or what it's even gonna look like? Cause like
I bet it doesn't have all of them. I bet that kind of that thing will just have like the big ones, you know.
No, you think?
There's too many. Like, there are too many of them, dude.
But there's people. There's so many people who are like big into like this culture, and would want like the complete.
I'm sure there will be like a complete set, but as far as like a Criterion collection, because there will be like, because Criterion isn't just like, oh, this movie was good. It's like, what is like significant in terms of film. And, like, I guess it would be kind of stupid to say that these movies haven't been culturally significant.
Oh, yeah,
so they'll do the ones that are, like, you know, important for the MCU, but, like, no. I'm sure there will be, like, a Disney, like, collection of all of these things that will sell for, like, I don't even fucking know, but I doubt.
See, that, like, that's my thing. That's my thing, is I don't think it'll even be that expensive, because I think, first of all, the MCU is gonna die, but it will outlive Blu-ray. It may even outlive like mass physical media.
I don't think it'll outlive mass physical media.
Well, it's like, I mean, what else is left for movies specifically? Like, it's just Blu-ray.
Well, there's 4K.
But I mean, like, physically, like, how do you deliver? Like, there's no new method of getting that stuff to you except through like streaming.
People still buy Blu-rays though.
Really?
Yeah, they do, and they still. Right. I mean, it's a thing. People are really like, even more so than video games. People like collecting movies. Like they definitely do. So I don't see that going away. All right, so you want to move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Give him a shake, and just beat the devil out of him. That's when you find out who your friends are.
Arts and sciences?
I've only got one thing in arts and sciences that I want to bring up.
It was formerly fine arts?
Yeah, it's now... We're gen ed here.
Okay.
Yeah, this is arts and sciences to enrich your life.
Gotcha.
And potentially scar you.
Gotcha.
So my whole thing is I want to talk about... Google Duplex.
Okay, Google Duplex?
Yeah.
What's that?
You're not familiar?
No, not at all.
At this year's annual Google I.O. Developers Conference, Google unveiled the newest form of its naturalistic voice interface.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they have cracked it. They have passed the they have done a Turing capable computer voice.
Wow.
I hadn't
heard of that.
Yeah, it you can look it up. You can look up videos of it. It sounds just like a real human. It inflects totally naturally. It intersperses its speech with like ahs and ums, you know, stuff like that that makes it sound naturalistic. It can interpret like language. It can interpret like really complicated you know, it can interpret like heavy accents, it can navigate really complex conversations and like recall things
from how big is the CPU for that? Like
I'm assuming like maybe even its current voice interface, which is not that good, like not convincing, you know, even that can't run like on a, it has to run from the cloud. Like if you don't have internet,
like a server farm.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm imagining like the first computers, like those stupid pictures where it's like one person and like a entire room of like tech stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It runs in the kind
they're
of
they're just place repurposing where... all the Bitcoin farms.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, that might be something. But anyway, it was terrifying. Just because, like, it's just like we're done. Like, there's no way to distinguish a human from a robot over the phone anymore. There's no way. So that's another sort of avenue that's closed off to us in terms of, like, security.
Why do we do that?
Do you know why? Yeah. The demo was... Do you know why we do it? It's because we don't want to call up restaurants to make reservations. Or,
that's insane to me. That's
what it's for. That's 100% what it's for. And actually, this will come of some relief. That's what it's for. That's what it's been built to do. So it can actually only do that. Like,
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That is so fucking funny to me that we... this absolute monstrosity of like a technological advancement can only like answer the phone for restaurants.
No.
It's like the other way around. What if we like made what if we actually created like human life and we just made them deliver food?
Yeah.
Like we just made them we made Frankenstein's monster an Uber driver.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally what it would be. It's just like, oh, well, we can't really trust the machine to drive the car yet, so we'll just create life.
Oh, my God.
We'll just tamper in God's domain for a hot second.
Just a little bit. Just dip our toes in there.
Yeah, dip our toes in God's domain. But it only...
it only takes your order.
So what? Right now, it's only capable of calling establishments to check their hours, to make reservations... for like if you're gonna eat dinner or if you're gonna get like a hair thing done, something like that. Mm-hmm. It can do that, and it can do I guess other soft, very uncomplicated inquiries into the business. But like when it does it's because that's the only thing it's been trained on, like it's a neural network, so it needs like a big data set, so they just fed it like terabytes of like phone conversations doing that specific thing, so that's all it knows how to do. Like it can't talk to you,
just a petabyte of people asking to speak with a manager.
Exactly. But it's still terrifying because it's still like it sounds like a person, like it can talk like a person.
Does it sound like Paul Bettany?
It sounds...
Is it Michael Ironside?
Actually, one of the voices does sound a little Paul, like it doesn't have an accent, but it's
it's just Gilbert Gottfried.
They could do that. They could do that so fucking easily.
I'd like a hair appointment.
They could do that so easily. It would take nothing. And also at that same conference, actually, they announced a bunch of new voices for like the regular Google Assistant, like the one on your phone.
You say regular?
Yeah, just that's a joke. Don't call attention to it.
Okay.
Because then it's not funny.
Sure.
For the vanilla assistant, one of them is acclaimed musician John Legend.
Oh.
So you can just have John Legend on your phone.
That's nice.
Yeah, and I remember tweeting about it when it happened. Because I was following it.
This is so sad. John Legend played Despacito.
It's going to be pretty grim, like, after his passing, people are just, like, asking him to do hair appointments and stuff on their phones. But I remember tweeting about it when it happened, that I was, like, disappointed that we got John Legend on the Google Assistant, but not his wife, Chrissy Teigen, who is, like, wicked way funnier and I think, in my humble opinion, more charismatic than he is.
I see. All right.
It was stupid. I feel bad about it now because this is a public forum.
You started beef with John Legend publicly, and now he won't come on the show.
Now he's gonna release a diss track about my unknown son.
BT.
Yeah, but that's all the science you need for today.
All right,
let's go to TV land. Let's surf some channels.
Hell yeah.
I'm sorry, let me untie it.
No, I got it.
No, don't stick.
Did I do that?
Something's just occurred to me.
What's up?
Should we do, to celebrate the time skip, should we do new interstitials?
New interstitials?
Yeah.
It's up to you, man. You're the producer.
Yeah, I guess it's up to
you. You're the Nathan Lane. It's my Matthew Broderick. I guess you're the Zero Mostel. I'm Gene Wilder.
Is Matthew Broderick in the producers?
Yeah, in the remake.
Oh, okay. I've never seen the producers.
We saw the original one, thanks really? To a Fathom Events thing. It sure was. It was to my surprise that the original one actually isn't a musical. Like the remake is, but the original one is just like it has like a musical number. If that actually, I might be misremembering. It might not have any. Now that I think about it, no, there is one. There is one.
That is strange. I definitely have like in my cultural osmosis understanding of it.
I thought it was a musical, like a comedy musical. But
yeah,
it's really not.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I'll just put Nathan Lane in every interstitial.
That's Timon.
Just a bunch of clips from like Lion King and Mouse Hunt and.
I wanted to watch Mouse Hunt the other day because it's on Amazon Prime now, but Brenda didn't want to watch it.
Oh my god! Why not?
I don't know. Maybe it's that scene where somebody eats a cockroach because that's pretty bad.
That scene where Christopher Walken eats poop.
Christopher Walken's in that movie?
Yeah, he's the exterminator and he eats poop.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a classic. Yeah. That's a classic film.
I gotta watch it.
Okay. Anyway, TV.
Yeah, Riverdale. Let's be real. That's what we're gonna
Riverdale.
Talk about here. Come on.
I love Riverdale. I love it.
So did you watch all of it? Did you finish it?
No, I'm up to the end of season 2, because that's what's on Hulu.
No, exactly. That's what I meant. Like, let's be real. Who's actually catching this on TV?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they wouldn't.
I'm sure that there are people.
I'm sure that, yeah. I mean, it's a good show.
That's
the thing.
People love
it. I picked the show up on a whim, just because it was on, like, my feed. But the reason I was like it was even invested in it, because I wouldn't care otherwise if I didn't already have an investment in these characters from my days reading Archie comics.
Yeah, I forgot you were weird like that.
Yeah, my aunt used to get them for me.
Did you also read the circus, the family circus?
No. The family circus is like fucking, I'm talking about like real at like double digests, not stuff in the newspaper.
Oh, okay. I thought Archie was in the newspaper.
I mean, it might be. I don't know. I read, like, those huge double digests of, like, nothing but Archie comics. And it's wildly enjoyable to see, like, obviously they're not, like, we get it. It's not supposed to be an adaptation in any way. It's not supposed to be faithful to the source material. They're literally just, like, taking the IP and
running wild of it.
Yeah, they literally just, like, they wrote a compelling teen drama. And then they just ghoulishly covered it with the skin of the Archie IP.
Sure.
Which is fine. Like, it doesn't really change anything about it. It's still a compelling teen drama. But it's hilarious to see, like, when you compare it to the source material, how vast the departures are. And it also is, like,
Are you telling me that Archie didn't become a leader of a, like, private militia?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He didn't have a militia in the original one. He had a band.
That's the same thing.
Yeah, they all had uniforms and, well, he played with the Pussycats, actually.
Black Parade. Archie joins the Black Parade.
Yeah, but like exactly like Archie being like a total like I don't know blood knight, I guess is what you call him by the end of it. By the end of it, certainly. Hiram Lodge is fun. That's an interesting character compared to like the comics, because in the comics he's literally just like a doddering old rich guy whose one defining characteristic is, oh, I don't like that you date my daughter.
Is that literally it?
Yeah, that's literally it. I mean, like, there's a lot of characters in Archie. There's not really room to flesh these guys out in 12 panels max, which is the average length of most Archie comics.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I really love Hiram Lodge. I really do. He's very enjoyable to watch. But at the end of the day, his character beats in season 2 are essentially, I don't like that you're dating my daughter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, I don't like that you're against me.
I mean, that, yeah, exactly. So that, like, I don't want to, like...
It's a good show. It's a good season, but...
Great show.
I do love Iron Lodge. Like, he's very fun, but I guess we don't really know his motivation just yet. And it's, he's just, like, a little shadowy villain. Like, his main character trait is shady.
He really is, like, I remember sending this to you, I think, over Messenger, like... I don't know if you noticed that it was, but it was a direct quote from the show of, like, he's just in the parlor, like, with no lighting, obviously, just the light of the fire to illuminate his face in a threatening sort of way. And he's talking to Veronica, and he's just, like, menacingly pacing around, and he's like, every moment that this kid is in business, mija, and he's talking about Jughead. Every moment that this kid is in business, mija. And then he pauses his sentence, goes over to the mantelpiece, villainously adjusts one of his tchotchkes that's on the mantelpiece, and then says, "Is bad for business." Finishing the sentence. Like, that to me was, like, spectacular. Because, like, you don't even notice it. If you're not, like, if you're just watching the show, you don't notice that he pauses to villainously adjust his tchotchkes. But that's such a great, that's a great little chunk of characterization that we get.
There's more to it. There's more to him than just I'm the shady dude. And there, like, you definitely get the sense that this is more for him. It's more than just like a business. This is like a legitimate legacy that he's like leaving behind for his daughter and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he cares for them, but at the expense, like, he cares more about that legacy than actually like the people in his family.
Yeah.
So there's more to it than that, but yeah, I'm sure that once season 3 rolls around, then maybe we'll get a little bit more. Now that they said it.
I'll tell you what, even in his current form, he's a more compelling character than
Archie.
No, I refuse that. I reject that. I was gonna say Betty Cooper.
Yeah. The darkness.
The darkness. Betty Cooper, like. That's kind of funny that this show thinks that in 2018, the idea of, like, oh, the darkness lurking in, like, the bright character, the bright person, is not extremely played out since, like, the 90s, and B, also, more importantly, manifested convincingly by giving her, like, vanilla... BDSM hangups.
Oh my god, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, guys. I don't know about this one. I mean, like, it's the CW, so you don't have a reputation for being edgy. But already, you know, it's sort of like obvious how, you know, unfamiliar. It's very much a fish out of water sort of situation in terms of the CW and sexual hangups.
I am also not a fan, and I don't think... I don't know her name, I don't know the actress's name, but I really don't think that she can... I don't think she has it in her to do that. She can't pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... And it's not on purpose. It's not like the character is struggling with these issues. It's just that, you know...
It's just limp.
Yeah.
I don't... That was my least favorite part of the season, that whole Betty Cooper thing. I just... Worst character on the show, easily.
Yeah.
I feel like their main conceit was like, what if Betty Cooper wanted to be a serial killer sometimes? But the thing is that when the rest of your show is just as wild in terms of what you've done with the other characters,
That's another thing. It's especially limp when you compare it to the other characters.
Yeah. Like, look at fucking... The way that they've handled everybody else is just so much more compelling. And then you just... Oh, God. I fucking hated her. I actually prefer the mom, almost. Jesus.
Yeah. The mom is like... She's kind of like the
I think it's just
Stepford character.
Yeah, but I think I just like the actress more.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, she's brings the intensity and the hateability, I guess is the word.
She's pretty good.
Yeah.
So there's it's not perfect. It's not a perfect TV show, but that's almost what makes it work.
But it will be.
The willingness to just fucking go fucking whatever, we're going to try this shit out and just going and just really going 100% in that direction. Yeah. Just the commitment is what I really admire about that show. Even if they have a fucking musical episode, I'm still willing to give it.
What? I loved the musical
episode. Oh my god, dude. I literally just... I just tuned that whole episode out. I started doing
something really
else.
Good. I was, like, as soon as it came on and I was like, oh shit, this is a musical episode? Because I didn't know it was coming. I got so excited because I was, like, particularly fatigued from, like, the fucking beat per minute of this plot, like how quickly it moves and how so like wildly it veers. It's a musical episode. I was like, oh, thank God, I can just sit here and not worry about the plot at all because they're not going to do anything like meaningful or permanent this episode because it's the musical episode.
I usually don't like musical episodes. I think the only musical episode that I like, shockingly enough, the Fringe one. That's pretty good. I know you haven't watched it, but...
Yeah, I have to watch that sometime.
Sure. Monthly reminder to watch Fringe.
Yeah. Monthly reminder to make J.J. Abrams... remind him that he doesn't just have to...
Reboot
beloved sci-fi franchises to earn our love.
Yeah, I mean, he's not doing anything else, right?
Yeah.
Alright, so is that it for today? Is that it for this episode?
Yeah, that's it for today. The day's over.
Okay.
I'll be going back to bed.
All right.
But thank you all for joining us for episode 201.
A reboot of our dark reboot.
Yeah, our gritty reboot of Pony, directed by Zack Snyder.
Sorry about all those awkward slow-mo conversations. That was weird to listen to.
And sorry about all the one-dimensional female characters. That's pretty shitty.
Yeah. Do you want to do the joke? The outro joke?
For sure.
Do you want to do the requisite, like, where can they find us stuff?
Yeah, why don't you take the wheel on that?
All right, well, you can find me at Celestial W Trash on Twitter. You can also find me on Tumblr at A Song of Ice and Fire Pro Wrestling. Quick plug... I will be releasing an album sometime this month, so
look for it. We're gonna review an album. Fun, our first ever album review.
I think that's a conflict of interest.
Not if I do it.
No, okay, good.
You just sort of sit there.
That's how ethics work.
Yep.
Right? All right. Where can they find you?
They can find me at Sauce of Ducks on Twitter.
Awesome. So you're doing that. You're in the clear now.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, what are
no
people going to do?
Clandestine. Because you were reticent in the past. You were like, no, I'm leaving it in the dark. I operate in the shadows.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and commit to the fact that, A, my professional circles are never going to find this podcast. And B, even if they do, I'm just going to... Knock on wood. But I'm just going to go ahead and stand by everything I've said here.
Double down. It works for politicians.
Yeah, hell yeah. If it worked for Anthony Weiner, why can't it work for me?
Right. So I have an outro joke, but it's a quick one.
Oh yeah.
Do you have something, or do you want me to go?
No, I have nothing.
Okay. So say that Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super.
Of the Dragon Ball
and Dragon Ball GT. Of the Dragon Ball properties, yeah. Created by Akira Toriyama.
Mm-hmm. Copyright 1999.
Yeah. If if he decided to just kind of go like, well, you know what, Kakarot clearly has me beat. Like, he's so much better at everything else. Like, I mean, not so much better. We're neck and neck.
Absolute nonsense. This is a hypothetical.
Yeah, yes, this hypothetical is never going to happen. He'll never get
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
But say that he were to just focus on his family. You know, he just had a newborn child and all that. Yeah. So maybe he just starts, you know, maybe just thinking twice about giving up his life for the world every single time something comes around. And he just hangs up his martial arts clothing and starts taking up a profession, a different profession. You know, maybe he just becomes a stay-at-home dad while Bulma kind of just runs the corp of the capsule core.
Sure.
And maybe he just takes up like a hobby, starts, you know, recording some music and all that. Maybe starts a jam band.
I am on pins and needles. I am leaning forward in my seat.
Do you think that he would go by the artist formerly known as Prince of All Saints?
Okay, that was good. All right, good job.
Thank you.
You did it. You stuck the dismount. Bye, everyone.